I'm Warren Bird, one of the elders, and it's my privilege to pray before God's word is opened. Lord, all of us are here because we need you. Mm-hmm. Some of us feel that need right up front. We can put our finger on it. We're in pain. Others of us need your help to find that next step we need to take. The good news is Hebrews 4, 12, and 13 reminds us that you see and know everything and that your word that we're about to hear is living and active and sharper than any sword, and it is able to speak to our soul, our heart, our mind, our strength. Lord, your servant this morning who gets to proclaim your word is Pastor Jeff Salveson. He can open the book, but he can't make the breeze blow. Lord, may the wind of your Holy Spirit this morning go from those pages through his body into whatever need we have in our walk with you. We serve that kind of God. We enter this session expectantly that you're going to show up. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Whew. That is the truth, Warren. I can read it, but only the Holy Spirit can make it blow through me. I just want to highlight, Bill prayed for Jared Olson. Jared Olson is our Annette's and my nephew. He's about 6 months older than Caleb, and he had been lethargic and eating like a ton, and but not growing, actually losing weight. And his mom took him to the doctor yesterday, and his blood sugar was 678. And so just pray for him and his parents, Mark and Shannon. Mark just took a job as a youth pastor in Michigan, and the rest of the family was in Pennsylvania, and so he's going to be on flights all day today and won't get in until midnight. So if you could just pray for them, that would be awesome. Thank you. Hey, we've been on this series this summer on Old Testament classics. So if you miss a week, it's okay. You'll hear a new story next week. Did I just say that? Yes. Old Testament classics, and we just want to look back over some stories, and maybe you've heard these stories before, and it's nothing new to you. And maybe you haven't heard the story in a really long time, and it's a good recap for you. And maybe you've never heard this story before, and there's an impact that it can have on your life. So this morning, we're going to be in Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. If you didn't bring a Bible, there's a pew Bible in front of you. It's page 4 on most of those Bibles. Otherwise, there's this great thing called a phone, and you can download an app called My Bible, or the Bible app. Pull that out. Google it. It'll pop up. Genesis chapter 4, and we're going to start in verse 1, and this is the story of Cain and Abel. And maybe you've never read this story before, but you've heard those names before, and you've heard about struggles or fights, and those names mentioned, there's a struggle and fight and some choices. So this morning is really a morning where we're going to hone in on choices. We have the choice to choose good or evil. We have that choice available to us, and that choice is presented in our story this morning. And so we're going to start in verse 1, and it says, Adam made love to his wife, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She said, with the help of the Lord, I have brought forth man. Later, she gave birth to his brother Abel. Now, Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil and as an offering to the Lord. And Abel also brought an offering, fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flocks. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Now, I think I need to set up the backstory. Maybe if you're not familiar with it, you haven't read it in a really long time. A couple chapters before this, God created. God created, and he saw that it was good, and then he created man and saw that it was very good. And there was perfect intimacy before God and man. It actually says in Genesis 2:25, the man and the woman were both naked and yet felt no shame. There was void of shame perfect intimacy between God and his creation. And then in chapter 3, that intimacy is severed a little bit. God had told Adam and Eve, you can have everything that you see before you except the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You can't touch that. Don't touch that. So what did they do? They touched it. And a separation came into being at this point. There was a punishment because of that. They were kicked out of the garden that they were living with God at the time. And so there was this sever between the intimacy that they had with God. Also, as a result of that, the trees and the plants weren't just going to grow. Now Adam was going to have to do a little bit to get those fruit and those trees and those vegetables. He was going to have to till the soil. And unfortunately for women, pain and childbirth. Thank you, Eve. You can punch her. You can stand in line to tell her how you feel. As a result of this disobedience of God, that was one of the punishments, and they were kicked out of the garden. And enter in this scenario, right before this scenario, this is what we have. As a result of their sin, shame entered the picture. They no longer had that perfect intimacy. To cover their shame, God killed an animal, sacrificed an animal, shed its blood to cover their sin. All right? This was a precursor of the story of Jesus Christ, who was God's son sent to die as an atoning or a sacrifice for you and for me. It was precursed way back in Genesis chapter 3. And then we enter in the story here with Cain and Abel. And, you know, I'm reading the story, and at first glance, you're like, what's the big deal? Why did God choose Cain's over Abel's? We don't know what the course of time means. There's several interpretations that people look at. Maybe it meant at the end of the year, maybe it was the end of the week, whatever it was, there was a time frame in which both Cain and Abel felt prompted to bring some kind of offering to God. And Cain brought some of the fruit of his labor, and Abel brought the firstborn of his flock, and not only the firstborn, the fat portion, the good stuff. Now, there's two ways, I think, looking at this story, two reasons possibly why God looked at with favor at Adam, at Abel's, as opposed to Cain's. The first of which is right there in the text. God shed blood to cover the sins of Adam and Eve, and Abel has now shed blood and offered it as an offering to God. We could go there and say, well, once again, here is a precursor of our foreshadowing of Jesus coming to die for our sins. That one screams to us. But dig in the text a little bit more, and it really seems like a heart attitude. It's more than just the offering, it's the heart attitude. Cain brought some and kind of left it before the Lord. And the implication of the text was like, here you go, God. Enjoy the fruit. It's tasty, have it, whatever you want. And Abel's heart attitude was, I want to give God, because of who he is, I want to give him my best. So I'm going to sacrifice the firstborn of my flocks. And not only am I going to do that, I'm going to give them the best part of the firstborn. Those of you who are meat eaters, right now in your nose, you can smell it, right? Cooked meat. I'm going to try to grill a little later. The smell of cooked, and if you're not a meat eater, I apologize. I'm a carnivore. That smell, you ever walked into the kitchen or walked into somebody's house after they've cooked bacon? You're like, ah. Oh. There is this warm fuzzy that takes place deep down in your soul, like, bacon? Somebody is cooking bacon. We are created in the image of God, and I don't think it's too far of a stretch that when this sacrifice is given the best part, God goes, that smells really, really, really good. Abel gave his best. Cain goes, here you go, God. And look at the response. God looked in favor at Abel and didn't look at favor in Cain. And Cain was angry, and his face was downcast. And it wasn't a mope. It wasn't a mope. I mean, the implication of the text is he's not moping. He's not going, He's stewing. He's upset. He's angry that his offering wasn't good, but he's more upset at his brother. And there's this internal turmoil. I'm one of five boys. And boys, when they get together, I'm just speaking from what I know, right? So I'm one of five boys. We really didn't know what girls were until like later on. We're boys, and so we did boy stuff. And when boys get together, stupidity happens. It just does. And sometimes the choices that we make are not the right choices, right? We would do the dumbest things. We would take our bed mattresses, we'd take them off our bed, and we'd put them in the yard. And we had this mini trampoline that was supposed to be for exercise, and we put the mini trampoline in front of the mattresses that we'd taken off our bed in the yard, and we'd bounce off the trampoline and then onto the mattresses. And the neighbor kids would come over. Hey, the Salvesons are doing stupid stuff. Let's go over there. And they come over, and I am not the most acrobatic person in the world, but I would jump off that thing, and this one time I was trying to do a flip, and I like flailed in midair and kind of did this twist thing and landed on my feet, and everybody cheered. And I was like, no, that wasn't on purpose. That was an accident. It looked amazing, but it was not on purpose. And so it was my brother's turn next, and he wanted to outdo me. So he's like, Jeff, come here. This is what I want you to do. Here's the mattress. Stand right here. Stand right here. I'm going to jump over you. I'm dumb, all right? I'm dumb. So I'm standing there. My brother comes and does the practice thing, and he bounces. And I'm like, all right, this is going to be good. He's going to flip over me something. So I'm standing there. Come on. And he starts running, and I realize, why does his face look like that? And next thing I know, instead of bouncing, he full-on shoulder right into my rib cage. Oh, and on the ground, I went. Cracking noises took place. I was grasping for air internally. Sometimes in our lives, we make terrible choices. And that was a terrible choice that my brother made. And I reaped the reward of his terrible choices. Now, see, at some point between him running and leveling me, there was a choice that he could make. I can do what I said I was going to do. I could bounce over my brother, or I could lay him out. And my brother chose laying me out. Cain had a choice. He had a choice here. There was a choice to be made, and Caleb makes the wrong choice. So let's look at this. Let's look at the choice. In verse 6, it says this. In verse 6, it says this, "The Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, you will be accepted. But if you don't do what is right, sin is crouching at the door, and it desires to have you. But you must rule over it. Now Cain said to his brother Abel, let's go out to the field. While they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is your brother Abel? I don't know, he replied. Am I my brother's keeper? The Lord said, what have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Cain had this choice. He could look at the choices that he made and choose differently, and he chose the wrong ones. Now, first, guys, why are you, I mean, this may seem simple to us. Cain, why are you angry? Why are you upset? Just do what's good and you won't have a problem. But this seems to be hard for us over and over and over again to choose what is good. If you don't choose good, sin is crouching right there waiting to grab you. Now here's the truth, right? Here's the truth. Sin, evil, the devil, it has no power but the power we give it. Right? Tweet that. Sin, evil, bad choices, they have no power but the power we give them. Oftentimes we have a choice. Cain had a choice before he went out with his brother in the field to not do what he was going to do. There was an opportunity. There was a moment at which he could choose, no, I'm going to be a good brother. I'm going to have my brother's back, or I could kill him. He had that choice. There was a moment at which he had to make that choice to cross that line and act out of evil. He had that choice, and he chose what was wrong. He chose what was evil. And then his response is so classic, all right? This is the God who created Cain. Hey, Cain, where's your brother?
Well, I don't know. I have no idea where my brother is.
Cain, I'm God. I created you. Do you not know that when you kill somebody, like I'm going to know, his blood is screaming up from the ground that you did this to him? It's screaming to you. We have these moments. We have these moments where we have an opportunity to choose what is right or to choose what is evil. In February of 2008, something amazing happened. The New England Patriots lost in the Super Bowl to the Giants. I mean, it was amazing. There was this crazy, Tyree had this crazy catch on the helmet. And everybody remembers that one, but not to be outdone by that was the winning Super Bowl catch by Plexico Burress. And for all history, Plexico Burress should be known for catching the Super Bowl winning touchdown catch in Super Bowl 2008. That's what Plexico Burress should be known for. Unfortunately, that is not what Plexico Burress is known for. If you don't know Plexico Burress, here's what happened. The following November, as they're on their celebration tour in the NFL football, they're the winning team, the reigning Super Bowl champs. It was November. Plexico Burress had pulled his hamstring and there was issues and he didn't know if he was going to play. And he decided to go out to a nightclub on Saturday before the game because he wasn't going to play the next day. Now, I want to stop right there and kind of back up a little bit in this story because here's what happened. At the time, he lived in New Jersey and there was robberies taking place in his neighborhood. And so he bought a gun because his wife had come home while somebody was in the house. And they took off, so he bought a gun to protect his wife and his family. So this is where the choice becomes stupid. He decides to go to the nightclub, and at some point, this is his story, he realized the gun was on him in the car, and he didn't want to leave the gun in the car. Why? Because you cannot bring a gun into New York City. It's against the law. You can't do it. So the right choice at that point would be to turn around, take the gun home, but no, that's not what Plexico Burress did. He took the gun into the nightclub with him, but he had no holster, and he kind of stuck it in between his sweatpants and his thigh. And he's walking in, and there's a metal detector, and he goes, oh, I'm dumb. And at that point, the gun slips. He goes to grab it and shoots himself in the thigh. Mind blown. You are this winning Super Bowl catch guy. And now, for all history, Plexico Burress is known as the dumb guy who shot himself in the leg and went to prison for 2 years. There was a moment at which Plexico could have chosen what was right. In that car, when he noticed the gun was sitting there, he could have gone, you know what? It'd be really smart of me right now to turn around and take this car home. But instead, I'm already here, so I'm just going to take the gun into the nightclub with me. He had a choice between good and evil, and he chose wrong. Cain had a choice between good and evil, and he chose wrong. There was a moment, a place, a position at which he could have chosen the easier path, which was to be good, and he chose instead to act out of selfishness. So this is what takes place in verse 11. Now, Cain, you are under a curse and driven from the ground, which is opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hands. When you work the ground, it will no longer yield its crops for you. You will be a restless wanderer on the earth. Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is more than I can bear. Today you are driving me from the land, and I will be hidden from your presence. I will be a restless wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me.
But the Lord said to him, not so. Anyone who kills Cain will suffer vengeance seven times over. Then the Lord put a mark on Cain so that no one who found him would kill him. Cain went out from the Lord's presence and lived in the land of Nod, east of Eden. Now, I've read this story hundreds of times. And all I do is look, all the times I've read this story, I just looked at it as, well, this is a terrible story. And it is, it's a terrible story. And Cain's life is forever changed in the negative. And Cain is now known for killing his brother. Instead of being known as the firstborn of the creation that God had created, man and woman, Adam and Eve, instead of being known for being the firstborn of what God had created, he's known for murder. And it's a terrible story, and that's all I really focused on. But I want us, as we're wrapping up this morning, to focus on his punishment, because there's something very telling in here. His first punishment is that the land will no longer produce for him. He is a farmer. That's what he does. He digs, he plows, he grows. That is now taken from him. His identity as a farmer has been stripped. But maybe more important than that is the presence of God is removed from him. And he says to God, my punishment is way more. This punishment is so terrible, God. Not only am I not a farmer anymore, but now no longer do I have this relationship with you. My community with you has been severed. Your presence with me has been severed. I don't know if you've paid attention during this story, but we never hear Abel speak to God. Not once in the story do we hear Abel speak to God. We see Abel bring a sacrifice, but we don't see him speak. Cain, over and over and over again, has had verbal interaction with God. And now that is going to be gone. And his response is, my punishment is more than I can bear. And then the follow-up, everybody's going to kill me, God. I'll no longer have your protection. They're going to kill me. When people find me, they're going to kill me because I killed my brother. And notice what he is not saying here. He is not saying, Lord, I'm sorry for killing my brother. Oh, Lord, I'm sorry. There is no repentance. There is no turning. There is no admittance of doing anything wrong. He has not once in this story said, God, I screwed up. I shouldn't have killed my brother. He just responds, the punishment, rightly so, that you've handed down to me is more than I can bear. I can't bear it. Completely, completely void of what he's done is wrong. He had a choice to choose good and evil. He chose evil. He has a choice to turn, to repent, to change, to go, wow, I really screwed up. And all he does is go internal. All he does is focus on the fact that now he's no longer going to be a farmer and God won't speak to him anymore. That's his total outcome for this. And what has taken place is the ideal state that he had with God has now been separated, and now he is just a man. And God's presence is no longer there. And as we look at him, I think, well, I'm not Cain. I didn't kill my brother. All my brothers are still alive. Had opportunities. They're all still alive. I didn't kill them. But I think this thing runs true in most of us. When we get caught, we're oftentimes more concerned with the consequences than the damage we've reaped. When we get caught, what's the first thing when you get pulled over for speeding? The first thing, if I'm honest, the first thing that pops into my mind is, how am I going to get myself out of this? I was speeding, the first thing that pops in my head, I just need to get there, Mr. Police Officer. I just need to get there. Oh, I didn't notice the speed limit. Oh, I'm really sorry. The first thing that pops in my head is not, yep, you got me. And this little bit of Cain kind of, if we're honest, I think a little bit of Cain's attitude finds its way into our soul. And I think maybe we're a little bit more like Cain than we're willing to admit. I mean, we might not kill somebody physically, but how many times do we kill people with our words? And for those of you who are on social media, you have an opportunity every single day to respond in negativity or evil towards some
thing that in your mind you see as stupid on there. And we kill people with our words, and we kill people's identity, and we kill people's reputation, and we kill people's values. So I think this morning, as we wrap up this classic story of Cain versus Abel, and we look at this thing called choices, I think we have an opportunity, we have a choice. We have the choice to choose good over evil. We have a choice to choose selflessness over selfishness. We have a choice to build others up as opposed to tear them down. We have a choice to have our brother or sister's back as opposed to stabbing them in the back. We have a choice to choose good versus evil. We have a choice to turn and repent and own what we did is wrong over remaining in our sin. We have those choices. We have a choice to respond as image bearers of the King, of the God who created us, or not. So I want to just take a minute here as we close, as the worship team comes back up, and before they play, I just want us to sit in this moment for a minute and analyze the choices in our lives. Maybe you've chosen this week to respond for evil rather than good. I want you to choose today to make that right. Maybe you have an opportunity this week to choose evil over good. I want you to own this morning choosing what is good. And maybe you've never chosen God over self. And if you would like to choose all the goodness that God has for you, because ultimately with him in your life, choosing good versus evil becomes a way easier thing. If you would like to choose God over self this morning, we're going to have some prayer people up after the service to speak with you. And in this moment right now, own whatever good choice you need to choose over the opportunity to choose what is not right. Lord Jesus, I pray and I commit all those prayers to you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. I ask that you would count them done, that all those choices that were made to choose good over evil would take place in the name of Christ Jesus. And those that want to choose you over self, that would settle deep down into their soul right now this morning. In the name of your Son, Christ Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right, would you stand?